Good afternoon and welcome to Inside the FLX. I'm your host, Josh Durso, and we are coming to you live from the Finger Lakes One studio in downtown Seneca Falls. Today we have three guests from the Seneca County Health Department: Public Health Director Vicki Swinehart, Deputy Director Mary Jo Flynn, and Seneca Senior Public Health Educator Carrie Van Auken are all joining us in studio. Thank you guys for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
So just to get everyone started here, obviously you're here because of the hepatitis A scare and some of the things you're going to be working on in the next year. Let's just go around the room and introduce everyone real quick, and starting with you, Vicki, go right ahead.
I'm Vicki Swinehart. I'm the Director of Public Health for Seneca County.
I'm Mary Jo Flynn, Deputy Director for Seneca County Health Department.
I'm Carrie Van Auken. I'm the Senior Public Health Educator for the Seneca County Health Department.
Awesome. So now that everyone has an idea of who you are and what is going on here, give us an idea of, over the last month, month and a half, what things have been like within your guys' office and more largely throughout the county with your efforts to fight the hepatitis A scare.
To say it's been a little hectic and crazy, I probably would say would be an understatement. It's been very hectic, very crazy. We've been trying to be on top of things. We've been doing a complete investigation and trying to make sure that anybody who's affected by this gets treated if they need to be treated. The investigation is ongoing. We still have contacts that we're trying to get a hold of and make sure that they've been treated. We've had to prioritize all the work that we've done at the office. Some of our normal work has got put on the back burner. This has been an all hands on board. Every staff member in the department has been involved with this and continues to be involved with it.
So what kind of, obviously you may not even know at this point, but what kind of timeline do you guys prepare for in this kind of situation? Is it like a 90-day, 120-day? Is it like a 4, 5 month, 6 month? Like from start to finish, when does it sort of, or when do you guys believe it kind of works out?
Well, we're hoping there will be a finish soon. the nature of the beast is, you know, somebody contracts hepatitis A, and the problem is that they're infectious before they have symptoms, so they don't even know they have the illness, so they're able to spread that to somebody else, which is the case that happened. We had two separate food workers. So we need to get a hold of the people that are contacts of people that were positive and take care of them and get their contacts to get them treated to hopefully stop the spread. There is infectious period. There's a time frame that you have to worry about. You really can be infectious, and you need to be concerned for about 50 days. The infectious period is 50 days. Normally around 28 days people would start showing symptoms, but it can be as long as 50 days. So that's why it's very important to get these people and get them treated.
So what, tossing it more over to you guys, how did all of your roles vary throughout the process to this point, and how does it look like it'll shape up going forward?
I think on a positive note, reflecting back on this, being a small department and handling the numbers that went through, that we pushed through the pod, the clinic, was really remarkable. By the time we got the phone call on the Wednesday, it was Wednesday afternoon, we found out we had a positive hepatitis A. That involved phone calls, conferences with the state. By the next day, we were obtaining information from our environmental health, the sanitarians, out investigating and going into the McDonald's and Mark's. So we all wore different hats, but we were prepared for it. As soon as we found out, we were in conferencing calls with the state, organizing what needed to be done. We had to find out how many people that potentially, which we didn't find out until Friday, the estimate was about 5,000. We're a staff of 14. We had over 100 volunteers, and then we had to gather all of that and come together and devise a plan of when, what population needed to be immunized and quickly. Because we were running out of, we wanted to get them vaccinated quickly.
And you guys did not know where you were going to be having that first event, so to speak, until the morning, like a little less than 24 hours before, correct?
Well, the whole thing, everything was put together within 24 hours. And I have to tell you, everyone was doing their thing, and then Mary Jo, I had to go to the auditorium at, the school district, and to walk into an empty room, gym, and try to plan and get and have it organized, which we did mm-hmm. by Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
That included a lot of people, not just. I was met with a couple from Monroe County
mm-hmm.
that got together with me in the emergency preparedness, and essentially the three of us organized the gym, set up the registration, set up the clinic area where all the vaccines were going to be administered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Carrie was...
I was doing... Well, normally my one of my day-to-day operations is I'm the emergency preparedness coordinator for the health department through our mm-hmm. public health preparedness program. So really what this was a testament to the planning
mm-hmm.
That we've done, the training.
Mm-hmm.
We have extensive plans. We have well-written plans, and I would love to take credit for those plans, but we actually have a consultant who is Kathy Vaughn, who does an amazing job writing the plans. And then my role is to make sure that the staff are aware of the plans, that we do trainings.
Mm-hmm.
We do practice runs, like you've said before. We have done drills and exercises. So what this did was it took the element of this was a real world event that we mm-hmm. had to put those plans into place. And what it really showed was that our plans work.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to sort of deal with worst case scenario. We may not have all of the resources that we need locally,
mm-hmm.
but we certainly are able to obtain those resources. We have good collaborative efforts in place with other health departments and agreements with other health departments that really helped us be able to stand up that pod within mm-hmm. you know, less than 48 hours.
That's impressive. One of the things I was going to actually... The first things that came to mind was like mutual aid with like
mm-hmm.
fire department or something
right.
like that. You must have like had to have coordinated with Ontario County and the counties
yes.
around us to put all. Now, was there like any portion of was there concern on their side for people who may have like been in Ontario County or like lived in Ontario County,
mm-hmm.
been here, and was that a big part of it or was that a smaller part of it?
There was, and Vicki can talk a little bit about this too, there is an intermunicipal agreement that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agreement with 9 health departments
mm-hmm.
In the Finger Lakes region. Mm-hmm. We activated that Friday, called out to those departments and asked them for assistance. And that assistance came in, you know, we are asking for human resources. We need your personnel.
Mm-hmm.
We also need... your supplies. All of the local health departments have to plan for medical countermeasures or
mm-hmm.
pods. So all of us have, you know, supplies on hand. Some of us have more than others. So like Mary Jo said, we used a lot of supplies from Monroe County. obviously, their population is larger, so they have more supplies on hand than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that mutual aid agreement was calling upon them to ask for some of those things. We were also communicating with them in terms of letting all of our local health department partners know what the incubation period was, what were the days of that people were exposed, and we were sharing press releases and information with them as it was released to the media as well.
Now, how much of when you guys sort of set up, obviously you have your numbers that you have to go by in terms of, you know, what the incubation period is and everything like that, but do you err on the side of caution
yes.
to some degree with that, or, you know, do you sort of maybe mm-hmm. expand the window a little bit just to make sure that everyone is protected, or is that something you
well,
don't have to?
We do. When we first decided we had to do the clinics, and we were thinking maybe 1,000 people, and then when we got the numbers from McDonald's, they were able to give us the number of transactions they did in a 24-hour period, and then we determined we may have to immunize up to 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we expanded from there on how many nurses we would need to immunize and how big the clinic would be. And, you know, we stressed throughout this whole thing the risk of contracting hepatitis A through this was very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't say there was no risk, so we did err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
It is certainly much better to give people immunizations and prevent the illness than have an outbreak where you have many, many people ill. Because, you know, hepatitis A can be very, very nasty. You can be very, very ill, and you don't wish that upon anybody. So if you can prevent it anyway.
Just as a little bit of background for people who might, I feel like a lot of people, when something like this happens, the first thing they do is they pull out their phone and go to their medical app and try to figure out, like, what it, give us a quick roundabout definition of what hepatitis A is, how you contract it, and, you know, what the symptoms are.
Not me to do it. Sure. Viral hepatitis A, it's a viral infection that affects the liver. Its route of transmission is what we call fecal-oral route. Mm-hmm. So normally individuals come down with hepatitis A because of contaminated food or water, but there are other risk factors that can also be involved as well. So individuals, close contacts, sexual contacts of infected people can also become positive with hepatitis A. The signs and symptoms of hepatitis, generally, people initially may just feel bad. They may complain of abdominal pain or have stomach upset. Sometimes there's diarrhea, sometimes there's vomiting. But really the telltale sign of hepatitis A is jaundice. So when your skin starts to appear yellow, the whites of your eyes start to appear yellow because your liver function is being impacted. Those are really the signs that bring people to the ER or to their doctors. And then they are able to draw blood and confirm whether or not they have hepatitis.
You say that it sounds like before the yellowing of skin and eyes, it could kind of be confused for the flu
or any other type of gastrointestinal
infection. And people may be working when they're feeling that sick before they turn yellow, jaundice.
Which is really important for people who work in the food industries and for their employers to make sure that individuals who do work in the food industry, if they are ill with any kind of gastrointestinal symptoms, if they're going to the bathroom frequently, you know, be aware of those things and make sure that your employees know not to come to work if they're sick.
And this is also, it spreads to daycare providers because of the changing of the diapers and, again, the fecal-oral route of transmission. Those are the two jobs that really ramp up a hepatitis A investigation if you're a daycare provider or you are a food service worker.
So moving forward now, do we think, are you guys planning for more clinics or having to do more clinics down the road? Are you, like, at a place now where you feel like that phase is passed and you're in sort of the just make sure everything stays
on
track?
We should be past the point of mass immunization clinics unless someone comes in and has another food service worker test positive. I don't have any reason to think that they would. We are still investigating some people. We have currently 7 cases of hepatitis A have been confirmed in the population. Only 2 of them are food service workers. The rest are close contacts, so we can understand why they have tested positive, but we're still doing some of the contact investigation for that and continuing to immunize some individuals in our offices.
So one of the questions that we got from some of our listeners over the last few weeks was they noticed that Mark's Pizzeria had gotten an all clear, whereas McDonald's had either slipped through the cracks within the media or they just never got an all clear, or that's the perception there. I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, they must have gotten an all clear.
There was never we did not do a complete restaurant inspection through this. We did an investigation on this, and there was no all clear or no clear. We went in, our public health sanitarians do the restaurant inspections. They immediately went into McDonald's as soon as we got the confirmed case, and they check for what their procedures are, what their policies are. Do you have a policy that's sick people are not allowed to work sick? Do you wear gloves? Is there barehanded contact? This employee that was ill, what kind of job were they doing? Were they sweeping the floor and they never touched food? Did they touch food? Were they cooking food? So that's all part of the investigation. There was no need in either case to shut any of the restaurants down.
Yep.
And you just have to remember, which is difficult for people to understand, it's not the restaurant's fault. It's not bad food. It's not anything. It is a worker that worked there that happened to test positive for hepatitis A. And because of that, there was a low risk of transmission of the illness through any of the food that might not have, you know, barehanded contact, incidental contact, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit. School year, flu season, vaccines. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Carrie,
yes.
Vaccines. What do you guys do in terms of, like, there should be a conversation happening all the time with any family that has small children mm-hmm. going to school. What are you guys working on in terms of that heading into 2016?
Yep. So December is always, there's a week in December that's always promoted as National Influenza Vaccination Week. So we mm-hmm. do, as a public health agency, try to encourage everybody be vaccinated for the flu that can be. Especially, we know with school-age children that children less than five, you know, are at greater risk for severe complications from the flu. And certainly anybody 6 months and over should be vaccinated for the flu. It's just good practice. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I actually, you know, I'm a mom as well of three young boys, and I took all three of them to the pediatricians yesterday, and they all got their flu shot. So as a mom and as a public health official, I would certainly encourage everyone to make sure that their children are vaccinated for the flu.
So in terms of flu season right mm-hmm. now, I mean, we're is this early or is this late for you guys when you normally see it start to pick up, or are we kind of in the heart of it now?
Oh, it's flu season, but there's
sporadic
it activity.
Yeah, sporadic mm-hmm. throughout the state. We get reports.
I think it's been lower this year so
mm-hmm,
far than
right.
what we normally have, and probably part of that's due to the weather.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that it's an unusual weather pattern right now, too, so that may be impacting.
Well, I think the whole point, too, is we have vaccine-preventable vaccines that prevent disease.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were doing the pod or the clinic for the hepatitis A, we actually went through, we had public health educators go through the line and educate people in the line about hepatitis A, but also they searched the New York State Immunization Registry to see if the children or any of them had hepatitis A.
Mm-hmm.
So people that were actually in line, their children were vaccinated. It was the adults that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a definitely for adults to be updated with their immunizations.
That was actually going to be my next question. You guys must spend a lot of time in schools educating. Like, I don't know if you guys go there to speak necessarily, but like, there has got to be a lot of communication between the schools and your office.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the nursing staff and the public health educators, they set up booths during the at the school, the health fairs. They go to the health fairs and open houses. And that's just a prime opportunity to show not only the students, the teachers, and the staff what public health actually does, which is a lot more than just giving shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
even
know?
During this time of year, because it's flu season, we do weekly surveillance with our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we're asking the school nurses on a weekly basis, what are your incidents of flu-like illness among your population? We send them a report monthly that lets them see, that's in chart form, if there's higher incidence in a particular month, they can see that. So we routinely communicate with the schools. We have a very good rapport with the school nurses. They'll call us with any questions that they have, and we certainly are able to call upon them when we need them as well.
We also have disease surveillance from other surrounding counties.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So like if Ontario County has an increased rate of, let's say, pertussis, whooping cough,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're alerted to that fact and
mm-hmm.
as well.
So just looking into 2016, do you guys have any events, any programs, anything like that that you are working on right now or that you'd like to let anybody know about at this mm-hmm. point?
It's going to be a busy 2016, I think, at the Seneca County Health Department. One of the things that we have on our agenda for 2016 is preparing for applying for public health accreditation in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our staff time will be dedicated to making sure that we are in a good position and ready to put forth the application in June. We also are planning to launch a new brand and to increase awareness of public health in 2016. I think there's always confusion about what does public health do, who is public health. Certainly events like hepatitis A sort of bring public health a little bit more to the forefront. Mm-hmm. But in general, if you ask the community, what does public health do? Most people don't know. So one of the things that we're going to do is re-release a logo, a tagline, and promote ourselves and increase visibility of the Seneca County Health Department in 2016, and increase awareness of public health.
Now, that's one of the things. Me and Jim were, before you guys got here, we were trying to figure that, we were having that, like, debate ourselves. Mm-hmm. What is Seneca County, what is the health department compared to Seneca County Public Health? Is there no difference? They're the same
there's
thing?
There's no difference. Mm-hmm. Public health is a division of the Seneca County Health Department.
But we're full service. We're full service. Mm-hmm. So it's public health and it's environmental services as well.
All right. So just to sort of anything else you guys like to share with anybody who's watching, who's been watching the hepatitis A scare issue sort of develop and happen, anything else you'd like to add as individuals?
I think from the public health sanitarian perspective is when this did happen at McDonald's and Mark's, they also went down that strip there and went to the gym and educated the people in there, gave out flyers on what is hepatitis A, how to protect yourself. And their main thing from talking to them this past week was good hand washing skills. Mm-hmm. You know, just bottom line, and that's whether it's influenza, any communicable disease, is good hand washing skills.
Mm-hmm. To that end, is there a specific place on, obviously people can go to the county website and find you guys, but is there, what is your guys' go-to resource
CDC.
For people who are sort of curious? CDC?
CDC has an excellent website. There's also a good website for, that's parent-friendly in terminology, is www.immunize.org.
Okay, awesome. So those are two awesome, and we'll actually link those with this video also after this. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for us today. For our viewers, we're going to be taking a couple weeks off for the holiday. In January, though, we will be joined by Newark Mayor Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Mayor Jerry Fremont, and former Geneva City Councilwoman Jackie Augustine. In the meantime, though, check out FingerLakes1.com for the latest news and updates. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. For Vicki Swinehart, Mary Jo Flynn, Carrie Van Auken, this is Josh Durso signing off and wishing everyone a very happy holidays.